extreme deficiency play off very well in your exotic. I play quinellas instead of exotics when I'm coming fresh to a track. I don't want to put all that money out when I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Now I do, and I wish I'd put it out. Yes, sir.
As a true beginner, when you say 3-0, that doesn't mean anything to me. UXR and EXDC don't mean anything. Is this going to be important?
No, not to you, not until you go to energy. So what we have is a bulk of energy, and I said I'd take the energy first, then Dick will take over your problems. He loves to do that.
You say that using the energy, and I'm just primarily a velocity user, that you don't keep a Brohammer model.
No.
Well, I have a little trouble with how the computer comes up with a variegate, how the program comes up with a variegate.
It costs $500, and that's that's why you're paying $500.
Okay.
We're not going to tell anybody how it does it. If we did, you know, I'm the most stolen from guy in the country.
I don't blame you on that.
And programs are protected the best we can, and then we have an attorney with a six gun. He never passed the bar exam, but he got this hunting license, and he hits the bullseye. So that's what you think law is? Go out, we'll give you some names. But, you know, not to kill, just maim. Unless you do it twice. Purdy will take care of it. No, you'll see it's logical. It's based on the UXR, and it's based on the horse's differential from zero, from the dream race. And it's pretty accurate, but yes, sir?
For about 2 years, I ran your velocity on handheld calculator.
Uh-huh.
And then I finally got your handy free program. Now, all these terms on here are new to me.
These are all energy terms.
Right. All the energy terms are new to me.
Uh-huh.
Now, am I going to enter a pace line in your new energy program that I assume that you're going to give us as part of it?
Oh, the cage in you get.
We don't get the energy program.
No.
That's $500.
Yeah.
No.
And you make it back the first couple of days. Ask anybody. But I'm not selling it, but you get the cage in free.
Okay, the cage in, you enter the same way as you did the straight velocity program.
Except you can enter every line in the race, enter five lines for every horse, you can sort it out any way you want.
Average pace line?
Huh?
You'll see it in action tonight or tomorrow.
You'll see it in action. It's nonlinear, so therefore it cannot be explained in linear terminology. But you'll see it. But I'll show you one before we go. Since he's going to show you one at the end of this session. Okay. This is for energy people. EXDC has a unique factor that should not have been put in energy because it overlaps into our ultimate program, which is deceleration. The EXDC stands for Energy Exertion Deceleration. And it combines, in other words, when you see a horse is number one early, he's not the fastest early horse necessarily. He's the horse that is combined velocity or energy yield in the first fraction coupled with his deceleration. Now, he may decelerate like crazy, so you never see him over here at all. That means he's decelerating a whole lot. But relative to his deceleration and his early velocity or energy, he's one there. And in some tracks, that's enough. But that includes deceleration. That's why we have a statistic. It'll be in the follow-up next time. Spencer Toner did it. Spencer Toner loses. He'll go along. He's a funny guy. Maybe some of you would be like Spencer. He wins 8 races in a row. And he's great. Oh. And he loses one. Does he go for the 10th race to see what he's going to do there? No. He packs up, goes home, and writes me out a whole chart of statistics. And he's got one that shows that the correlation between the paragons, which we haven't mentioned, and the other figures is better, is more reflected in the EXCC than it is in the paragons. It's just slight. I mean, you're not going to go broke on either one of them being different, but EXDC is a little superior to paragons.
EXDC is deceleration.
It's what I just said it was. Energy. You missed that part. It is velocity and or energy combined with his deceleration by fraction. So if his deceleration is tremendous between the first and the second, he might have be one here because he had so much energy in that first fraction. But he doesn't show up over here at all because he had too much deceleration. His ratio did not show him up anywhere. And there's a little number on it that shows their ratio. Now, the paragon is merely a paragon. Y'all know the paragon. Didn't your mother ever say you were a paragon of virtue?
No.
I didn't, huh? My mother always told me I was a paragon of virtue. Thank God she died before she found out it was not true. But a paragon is the ultimate. Paragon A is the ultimate in early or non-sustained. The top three are the best in the early stages of the race. Paragon B stands for non-early, not sustained, but non-early. That's why it's called B. So a horse that runs as a paragon in B is not necessarily just a late horse. Paragon B is more reflective of winners than paragon A, except at extreme early bias tracks. Yes, sir?
Are you going to split the up tonight?
Oh, no.
No. So we don't need Easter.
Oh, no. Not tonight. Any questions on paragons?
Would you repeat paragon A and paragon
B? All right. Paragon meaning the best. Paragon A is for early. The horses that appear in 1, 2, 3 order are the horses who handle the early stages of the race the best. Paragon B means for non-early. Now, if you find one of your horses that's number 1, 2, or 3 early paragon, your A paragon, is also on your B paragon, that's a very strong horse. If he's third A and 1 B, he's strong because he managed to withstand the early pressure and came on. When you see a horse over here, he's only over here, not over here, representative of the track now. Steed will have a different figure than you will because his track is early biased. But he's not over here at all on most tracks. He can be discounted. Unless that early lead is so tremendous. Unless his early lead is like this and he doesn't have too much deficiency here. So look, your deficiencies tell you. The deficiencies tell you. They're some of the best numbers and some that are very much overlooked. Look at those deficiency numbers. That's the terminology. Any terms I left out?
Energizer.
The energizer. Great. The energizer, some horse has to energize a race. By energizer, it is the fastest first fraction that extends itself the longest. So, that, for instance, that horse, Alishiba, while it was not the best early horse in a couple of the races, was always the energizer because it sustained what it had early the longest into the race. The energizer is usually your number one paragon A. If he's not, forget it. Okay. What are they going to do with him?
We don't have enough tables in here.
Oh, they're going to put in more tables. As long as you put in more.
The van load's coming in now.
A van? Of our people?
Yeah.
We have a whole van?
We've got two van loads of people from the airport.
I'm so flattered. Oh, that's a very small van. Don't worry. The energizer is the horse that energizes the race and holds on to that. He's what causes the other horses to run the way they do. He's usually your zero MUP horse. If he's not, you can pretty well discount him. If he's third MUV, that means that he had nothing except the first fraction. And you can pretty well discount him unless you have a track where all you have to do is win the first fraction to win the race. So you have to... 10 readouts, looking at 10 readouts, and understanding thoroughly what they're saying will teach you more than listening to me. Providing you listen to me to do it. If you don't listen to me telling you to do it, then it's not worth a damn because you won't do it. But if you do it, you are the great. Remember, you got to step back and remember that I didn't have any method when I started developing a method. Does that make sense to you? I mean, I'm starting from scratch. I didn't have anything except an inspiration from Huey Moll that fractions were where it was at, so to speak, right before the at. And everything had to be derived from countless hours of doing it on races, weeding out things that were not apropos, and doing it from all over Canada and the United States.
until after
a lot of work, you found the viable variables in their relationship to each other. And that's what you have the perfect right to do in your home. You sit there for 2 hours on a black day, or a dark day, or whatever they call it, and you'll know as much as I do. If you're thinking as I do, I'm thinking only one thing, perfection. I'm not going to stand for, oh, that's pretty good. I want perfection. That's why I'll be doing it when I'm senile. I hope I get my body well trained enough I can punch those keys so when I've got advanced Alzheimer's that I can still do it. They'll chain me to things so I won't wander off. The old man's in there. I think he's alive. He's punching keys. But it's fun. And it's fun doing this on your own. But just don't do 10 races and draw some false concept. These subjective statistics will kill you. Oh, my God, Everett, the horse that's running 58-something median energy wins them all that day. Make sure you do them everywhere, on any track you play. And you'll see a pattern develop that you'll understand perfectly. So that's the energizer. That horse now, for instance, it's Santa Anita. When it was running very early, the energizer was in the money 80-some-odd percent of the time. I used to take $20 a race into a race book, or if I went to the track ahead of time, bet $20 on all my energizers. Like I did 6 races a day, so I got, $140? When I went out and I collected the tickets, I had paid for my parking, my food, and my seats, and the booze I hadn't drunk yet that I was going to use to celebrate on when I got back to the motel or someplace.
That's $100.
Huh?
If he's going to pay for my booze, it has to be $100.
Yeah, well, I have to pay for him off the credit card. But, hey, it pays your expenses and your gas. And depending on how much you bet, it could pay more. But if you only make $20 out of it, show prices aren't that big. So you make 20% on your money. That's $28. And that's what I averaged, $28 to $35 on $140. Pays your expenses. Now, that's not reliable. I got a letter the other day where that was working in New York. But the fella in New York, I had to write him a little letter back. Hey, wait a minute. That's great, but don't start playing that for the rest of the year, because it's going to be different at Belmont or Aqueduct or whichever track you're not playing now. So keep track of it, and don't be betting those $20 a race unless the results justify that the energizer's doing no worse than coming in third. You will find that the even EMU v. SMU, let's say they're both 0.325. That horse is in the money, depending on the horses you put in the computer, about 80% of the time also. It is a phenomenon. Literally, and I have a good handicapper in San Diego who's even better than that. He's almost never out of the money. But he is a honer-downer of races. He only puts in 4, the most ever 5. So it's more reliable with him. Now, when they get over 1... Like you've got 1.23 and 1.23. Okay, any more questions on the readouts in energy?
It's not about the readout, but it's about the ATV. It's all right now because we're into the 7th month of the year, but I've noticed the early part of the year when I put my MUV stuff in. Should I put in...
APV, you mean?
Or APV. Should I put in all of their current... earnings?
Well, generally, now this is something you've got to decide for yourself. If a horse has this year is very unreflective of anything, he's only got a show or something, I'll do 2 years. But if I do 2 years on one horse, I can do it on all. So it's strictly a matter of if you have enough races. In fact, do two years and see what the difference is sometimes. If you're in doubt, just do them twice. Yeah, if you got a show, and that's all you got showing, for instance, just move it over and say win. Now that'll deflate it. But check the previous year and see how close they are.
Let me say something about that.
Yes, sir.
if the horse is a 3-year-old, don't mix your 2-year-old and 3-year-old earnings, because they're different scales. And 3-year-old and 3-year-old and up earnings are different. They have different purse structures for the 2-year-olds and the 3-year-olds. 2 years together, you're not going to get a very good, strong reading. So try and separate them that way if you can. But if you're talking about older horses, this is just as a guideline. What I look for early in the year is 4 in the money, something, even if they're all 4 shows, like Howard's. But 4 in the money performances to evaluate. And anything less than that, I'll go back to the previous year.
And no way to above.
Yeah, no way to above. I think he's figured that out. Pretty logical. 2-year-old earnings, he's a world beater, and he suddenly falls apart when he turns 3. Well, you don't want to credit him for his 3-year-old earnings. But generally speaking, if you just did it without any thought of that, the volume would take care of your loss. I mean, you lose when you could have won, but you'll also win sometimes when you should have lost. Steve?
I think a lot of us, or at least I was guilty of, you told us to run APV in class, and it takes time, and there's a tendency to run them mechanically as quick as possible and get them out of the way. And I found that it pays a lot more to take a little more time and use common sense with it. And for me, the pluses and the minuses are a great help, or pluses and zeros, rather, a great help in determining how to run your APV in class.
Yeah, Dick's going to go into the pluses, the O's, and the plus within an O, adding to our lexicon the fact that an E is a plus within an O, regardless of horse from an 80 speed rate. Yes, sir.
How do the APVs have? What do you do where you got a lot of state bred races? We got a lot of horses.
Well, Bob Cochran has a special deal on state. Are you from Illinois?
No.
What state are you from?
Texas.
You have state bred horses in Texas?
No, the Louisiana. No.
Louisiana is no good. I mean, that'd be Florida, Maryland, California. And Louisiana is coming up now. Not one of the top, but it's getting better. Louisiana breeds are coming way up. Because you have so much farm space down there, and it's inexpensive, so they're going there. And in a couple of years, Louisiana will be, but Florida, Maryland, and California, you would do it the other way around. The state breeds are worth more than open. They really are. And Florida is the best now. Kentucky, of course, is the other. Florida produces better horses than Kentucky. Most of your big winners now Florida takes. But Bob Cochran's going to go into that. It's his favorite subject, and he'll have a whole period of that. But it's something you get a feel for. Anytime you don't get a feel for all this, it doesn't come naturally. If you don't just sense things, Jim Bradshaw's suggestion would be raise guppies. I won't go to that extreme, but I would say spend a lot more time using what you've got and analyzing it and let it sink in to see the overall picture. And then the specifics of the instructions. You see, the problem with writing instructions is that here's your rule, except when. And then this, and when this is except when, and pretty soon the whole rule is one rule with all the exceptions, and you haven't started handicap. So you have to feel those times when the APV is more significant from 1 year and when it's more significant from 2 or a lifetime. Generally, what you want to do is sometimes an experiment for yourself is to do a horse's last year's APV when he has enough races, 6 or more, and do his lifetime and see how incredibly close they get. Or you might find how far apart they are and find out where the departure came so far apart. But I find lifetime and last year, or a combination of 2 years, are very similar. And in the long run. I just tested that out just to satisfy myself. And but I can't put it in the manual because I'm only doing the races that I've got. I may not be doing your track. And if I told you to do it the way I did it, I could hurt you. So you have to verify everything for yourself. Think of yourselves as brain surgeons, diagnosticians, x-ray technicians, psychologists, God help them, and say, I'm going to achieve the height of my profession. This is my profession, so I'm going to learn everything about it there is. And I'm not going to wait for somebody to give me a book on it. I'm going to experiment. Yes, sir?
Doc, I'd like to ask something about velocity. Would you prefer us to keep people ridiculous up there?
Ask me, because I'll give you the right answer.
Okay,
sure.
Well, I live in New York. I know I talked about from my Bostonian accent, but I lived in New York, and of course, except in Belmont, and Saratoga, and Paterson. And it was a rarity off a maiden win, unless the horse was a champ. Just from my experience, that a horse would win the next time out. Now, I live in Florida, and Calder, unfortunately, is open now, driving in Gulf Street. And you see a horse come off a maiden win and pop and say, very good. As a matter of fact, I bought two racing horses.
Okay, I'll tell you, I handle that.
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Do you do an APB on those maidens? Do you furthermore try to...
Horse won, broke his maiden, now he's in again, and then he popped.
In other words, if the race is, if the purse of today's race is within 12.12, you've got to worry about if they're coming from New York, you've got to figure a balance there. But if it's close to today's purse, and the non-winners have won except maiden claiming, they carded it for the maiden.
But you said something, Dr. in the yellow page, and this is why I got confused, that take the distribution of the win end. Sanity, I think it's 55%.
Yeah.
And this is where I didn't know what you meant.
Okay. Take the actual distribution as opposed to the 60-20-10.
Okay.
It might be 50. Down in Florida, I think it's 65. 60, okay. And at Hialeah, before it closed, it was 65. So you just pick 60% of that horse's earnings. And if you can find the actual race, if you keep your charts, you can find the actual first try of the race, it won. Just use that. See how much it won. And the win end is comparable to the win end of today's race. That's the first criterion. And allow a 12.12. 88 is good enough. And you might find down there, it has to be higher or maybe even lower, but whatever it is, make sure that it ran its maiden win comparable close to today. The second one is, maidens who win. Here's what you want to do. This has been stolen too, so if you don't get it from me, buy Dave Mitchell's material. There is a part time you will find a part second pressing energy if you use the energy or velocity. Okay. The par velocity, this is one case where you can use kind of a par. What is the turn time expectation at the non winners of one? Just turn time. Turn time only. Now, look at your maidens that are going into that next race and see what their turn time was. The maidens seldom win if they have a turn time deficiency relative to the race they're going into. But if they have it, they don't time the turn. Most maidens time the turn even when they win. If they have a